Welcome to the Tortoise Quick Take Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Today, a senior member of Tortoise provides a timely update on trending topics in the market.
Hello, I'm Ed Russell, Managing Director at Tortoise. Thank you for joining us for this special Quick Take Podcast. I'm joined today by Tortoise Portfolio Manager and Managing Director Rob Thummel. Let's start by talking about what you think is behind the sell-off in the energy sector. This year, the energy sector is the weakest performing sector in the S&P 500. Through May 8, 2017, the S&P Energy Select Sector Index has declined by 11% year-to-date, while the S&P 500 is up 7% year-to-date.
Yeah, the sharp decline in oil prices this year has been a headwind for the energy sector. Oil prices have declined by about 11% and are currently lower than they were when OPEC held its last meeting in November of last year. Sentiment towards the energy sector has turned negative, resulting in weak stock performance across the energy sector, except for energy infrastructure, which has held steady.
So obviously OPEC thought that they'd get a different result from their production cut. In your opinion, why are oil prices falling?
Initially, traders were skeptical of OPEC's compliance with its production cut agreement. However, OPEC compliance has been very good, 99% as of April 30th, 2017. And I think the biggest factor right now is U.S. crude oil inventories. In the first quarter, U.S. crude oil inventories increased 12 out of 13 weeks, including one of the largest crude oil inventory increases in U.S. history that occurred in February. Now, traders want to see evidence that oil inventories are declining. And U.S. inventory numbers that come out weekly are the most readily available information. The increases in U.S. oil inventories are not a surprise to us, as the first quarter is a seasonal period when inventories typically rise.
So what about U.S. oil production? We're seeing a lot of evidence about rig increases, and you generally think that would be good for energy as a whole. What do you think is contributing to it being a weakness in crude prices?
Yeah, we do think that higher U.S. production is having an impact as well. U.S. crude oil production is rising, with most of the increase coming from shale production. But think about this. U.S. shale oil production represents less than 5% of total global oil supply. Yes, U.S. shale production is economic at $50 per barrel, and in some bases, U.S. shale oil is economic with oil in the 40s. However, we estimate that oil production from U.S. shale will likely increase by 300,000 to 500,000 barrels per day in 2017. Don't forget that global oil demand is forecasted to increase by approximately 1.4 million barrels per day in 2017.
So I think this is confusing for investors, is you've got OPEC doing what people think is the right thing and cutting production. You've got the U.S. increasing production. How do you find middle ground here? What is the market really looking for?
I think there is a common misconception in the oil markets right now. Traders want to create a boxing match pitting U.S. shale versus OPEC in a battle for global market share. In my opinion, this is simply not going to happen, as the global oil markets are going to need both U.S. shale and OPEC to increase oil production for two reasons. First, global oil demand is growing by over 1 million barrels per day, and the U.S. and OPEC are two of the lowest cost suppliers of crude oil. Second, we've only spent time so far talking about approximately 32 million barrels per day of production from OPEC, and 9 million barrels per day of production from the U.S. You throw in Russia, and we've really only accounted for approximately half of the global oil supply. Very few are talking about what is happening with the other half of the global oil supply. Capital investment related to the other half of the global oil supply, which represents, say, 40 to 50 million barrels per day of production. Capital investment in these areas is expected to decline for the third consecutive year. Reservoir Engineering and Geology 101 tells us that oil production declines every year. I think this is an important point. If capital investment is insufficient to offset natural production declines, then production volumes will fall. We believe the lack of capital investment in almost half of the global oil supply will result in declines in oil production, and that U.S. shale and OPEC will fill the gap created by the production shortfall associated with these declines in the years to come.
All right, Rob, so with that, we just saw oil kind of break that $50 barrier that we all kind of thought was so important in this trading this week in the mid-40s. Where do you think we go from here? Do we test new lows, or do we get back up into that $50 to $60 range?
Sure. So we think help is on the way for oil prices. And what do we mean? Well, we mean higher oil prices. First, we think OPEC's production cut agreement is likely to be extended at the biannual OPEC meeting on May 25th. All signals coming from the major players, such as Russia and Saudi Arabia, point to an extension of the agreement. Now, while the production cut agreement would likely be extended through the end of the year, some recent news organizations have reported that an extension of the cuts into 2018 is being discussed. This would be great news for oil prices. Regardless, the OPEC meeting should remove significant uncertainty from the global oil markets. Second, we expect to see a consistent reduction in U.S. crude oil inventories very soon. We are entering the seasonal period when U.S. oil inventories decline most weeks. What is most encouraging to us is what has happened over the last 6 weeks in U.S. crude oil inventories. In 5 out of the last 6 weeks, the change in U.S. oil inventories was at or below the low end of the 5-year range. If this trend continues, there will be some substantial declines in U.S. inventories in the weeks to come. Now, look what happened today. Another larger than expected inventory decline helped move oil prices up a little over 3%. So in general, we still believe that oil prices will range between $50 and $60 per barrel in 2017.
Okay, thanks. So let me bring you back a little bit to oil demand, because I think that's important. And also your last comment where inventory levels jumped crude prices. It seems to me that inventory levels, rig counts are getting all the headlines. But if you go back, I do remember a time when there was concern about global demand, and that was getting headlines. But, you know, right now, no one's talking about global demand. Can you maybe enlighten us on kind of where we're at compared to historical numbers and things?
Sure. Good point, Ed. So the forecasts for global oil demand in 2017 range between 1.3 to 1.5 million barrels per day of oil demand growth. Now, this range is 30% to 50% higher than historical averages. There is seasonality in the numbers, as the lowest growth occurs in the first quarter, while the highest growth happens in the second and third quarters. As global oil demand growth accelerates and oil supply falls, global oil inventories should approach normal levels, which will be supportive for oil prices.
All right, Rob, any concluding thoughts?
Yes, the U.S. energy sector serves a basic need and is critical to every sector. We are moving into a new era of low-cost energy that could significantly boost global economic growth. The global energy landscape is changing. We believe shale oil and gas is here to stay. The U.S. is becoming a significant supplier of low-cost energy to the rest of the world due to technology. A recent report by McKinsey labeled shale oil and gas as a disruptive technology. We agree. The U.S. energy sector is in transition, requiring energy companies to be agile moving forward.
Rob, thanks for that. But I just feel like I just want to come back to you for one more thing, if you don't mind. Is you've just outlined some things that show that the outlook for U.S. energy is very exciting. Yet we have seen some volatility in the midstream area particularly. Now we're not at the levels where we were last year, where people are doubting the business models of MLPs and some pipeline companies, but there has been some volatility there. Can you kind of tell us specifically what this energy sector outlook can mean to the midstream space?
Sure, Ed. You know, I think probably the biggest factor impacting the entire energy sector right now is oil prices, and we spend a lot of time just talking about why we think oil prices are going higher. But when you think about the energy sector and MLPs and midstream investments in general, you have to think about more than just oil. You've got oil pipelines, you've got natural gas pipes, natural gas liquids pipelines, you've got other type of assets. They're steady, fee-based driven assets that are a bit agnostic to what oil prices and natural gas prices actually end up being. Their cash flow and revenues and growth is more derived off of volumes. And what we tried to lay out, you know, over the last few minutes or so is a case that the U.S. energy sector is going to become a really critical long-term player in really supporting global energy demand growth. And as a result of that, we expect U.S. volume growth to occur in both oil and natural gas, and MLPs will play an absolute critical role in serving a really important need, which is providing critical infrastructure that connects areas of crude oil, natural gas supply to areas of crude oil and natural gas demand.
Perfect, Rob. Well, thank you. No more follow-ons from me. And I want to thank everyone else for joining us here on our special Quick Take podcast.
Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for our next cast. Have topics you want covered or other feedback to share? Write us at info@tortoiseinvest.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. All statements other than statements of historical fact included herein are forward-looking statements. Although Tortoise believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects our views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intent.